welcome to Higher Ed, KUT's podcast focusing on issues of higher education, lifelong learning, and exercising the brain. I'm Jennifer Staton with KUT 90.5, Austin's NPR station, talking as always with Dr. Ed Berger, president of Southwestern University in Georgetown, Texas. Hello, Ed.
Hello, Jennifer. Welcome back to beautiful Southwestern University's campus.
Thank you. It's always fun to be here. And it is beautiful here.
It's a gorgeous
setting.
Campus?
It's a great setting. It's a great setting.
Was it a month or so ago I actually took you to the Commons and we had lunch together?
Yes.
Wasn't the food delicious?
It was. And it was so fun to be in the middle of all that student energy.
Yes.
They were buzzing and talking, and it was a great environment to be in. And you know, one thing that really struck me being in that environment was how important those out of classroom times are for what happens in the classroom.
Exactly.
And how all the, I'll call it all broadly extracurricular and other interests that we have that students
co-curricular.
Have. Co-curricular.
Right. Yep.
What a vital role that can really play in our learning throughout our lives.
That's the power, I think, of a residential liberal arts institution, that, that you're all together. And so you can have these shared experiences. And I think you're absolutely right. And I hate to say this, you know, as a professor who, you know, has been in the classroom for 30 years, but I think that sometimes the most impactful and the biggest life lessons are actually learned outside of one's class. And that always used to make me sad as a faculty member. But as long as you have these co-curricular and extracurricular activities, the whole is greater than the sum of the parts.
Well, and do you think that those co-curricular activities, those outside the classroom activities, can make the classroom time better?
Absolutely. It certainly can enhance what goes on in the classroom because it's a shared experience, whether it's like a popular lecture that's on campus or a performative event, whether it's listening to a concert or to a play or even, you know, of course, an athletic event. I'll tell you something interesting when you think about these kind of things. I thought about this just this morning. This is not a joke. This is real.
Okay.
I woke up, you know, I live on campus in the president's house, and we have some athletic fields just kind of down the hill from where the president's house is. And I woke up very early, and I was getting ready to go to work, and it was probably around 6 o'clock, and I was about to – and I heard all this noise. And I realized that there was a sports team, one of our Pirates. We're the Pirates, by the way, Southwestern Pirates, of course.
Arg.
Thank you. Look at you. And they were practicing. I was going to say they were having a rehearsal.
Wow.
But that's not quite how they put it. The vernacular is practice. They're having a practice at 6 o'clock in the morning.
Wow.
And I thought to myself, as an academic, I couldn't imagine an event that would be a kind of a curricular or an academic event, like in my class anyway, that would bring them out and engage them and have them all kind of, you know, kind of geared up at 6 o'clock in the morning. And yet in some of the co-curricular things, it really resonates with the students. It's important to them, and they will wake up and do it. And so it's interesting, isn't it?
Oh, it's fascinating. Now, I have to say, I've done a little sleuthing on you. Mm. You know, it's called the interweb.
The interweb.
Yeah, it's called the interweb. So I know that that one area that's fun for you and important for you kind of co-curricularly is comedy.
I'm a big student of comedy.
You're a big student of comedy.
Love
so
comedy.
How would you say that has impacted your intellectual life, your learning life?
I think it has made me more creative, and I'm not saying that I'm creative, but I think it has made me more creative than I would have been otherwise. And it's interesting, by the way, just as a little aside – in my new job, you know, being president of a university, you cannot be funny. It's very interesting.
What do you mean?
You know, and when you watch leaders, sometimes they seem very dry.
Yeah.
And I've realized that you have to be, because if you just say something flip or try to be funny, there will be people who will think that maybe you're actually being serious. And so you have to be very careful to be when you're funny. And so I think I'm less funny now than I ever was. But at one time, maybe I was funny. I find comedy a very creative activity. The creation of it, so to create something that a lot of people would find amusing and would laugh at, that means you have to have a shared – you have to offer something that somehow is a shared experience that will have the same reaction that you have. Because a lot of times one person's comedy is another person's kind of offensive, you know, language or offensive ideas. And so, you know, how do you balance that? And then it's the delivery. And I'm thinking now kind of verbally, like if you're doing a performative event, not written comedy, which is another type of genre. But standing up there, how do you deliver it? The timing. It's all really interesting and how you can be dramatic, you know, kind of lead someone down a road. I mean, here's what comedy – here's the equation for comedy, by the way.
Equation for comedy?
It's very easy, actually. So you say A, right, which naturally leads to B, but you surprise everybody and you say C.
Ah.
And then once you hear C, you understand A differently.
Uh-huh.
That's comedy. It's the surprise. It's the kind of being caught off guard. That's what it is. And I used to teach it. You know, in my previous job, I actually would teach a four-week class called the Comedy Writing Workshop. The first time I did that, everyone thought this would be like the easiest course in the world.
It wasn't.
No, they were writing all the time, every day, and performing it and then editing. And then, of course, the other important element is the editing, to make it just perfect. Yeah, and you think of some of the great comedians that now very few young people have heard of, like Jack Benny, I think was probably the master of timing and the master of editing. He was an amazing editor and had an amazing timing. He could stand on stage, in front of a television camera and just stare at the audience and say, you know, well, and people would laugh. And he could just do that for minutes on end. It's very, very creative. It's interesting. So anyway, comedy has been, I've been a student of comedy forever.
Well, what strikes me hearing you talk about comedy and dissecting the practice of comedy a little, talking about the athletic teams that are out there practicing early, you know, the skills that are wrapped up in those seem very transferable to me to our learning lives. You know, a little bit of discipline. I mean, it takes some discipline to be on the athletic field at 6 a.m.
That's right.
Some passion, some interest, some commitment.
Teamwork.
Teamwork, willingness to explore.
How do you win well? How do you lose well? How do you learn from that? Absolutely. All of that is transferable into the classroom or into any kind of intellectual environment. Exactly. And that it goes with the performative events, right? If you're in a play or you're in a musical performance or if you're doing some kind of dance performance. I mean, all of that practice – again, it's offering you the habits and the practices of living that can be applied anywhere. And it's interesting though, right? Think about this. Let's take an English class.
Okay.
So I'm taking this English class and I'm also, let's say, playing a soccer.
Uh-huh.
Okay? It's completely natural to me as a young person that every single afternoon I'm going to be on the soccer field with my team practicing. Uh-huh. Is it as natural to think that every single afternoon or evening I'm going to open up a journal and just write for 2 hours? Just write to practice writing if I'm taking this course? And the answer is no. And yet if you're taking a course, let's say, on poetry or creative writing, then you should be practicing it as you practice soccer, which means that you need to kind of have a mindset where, I'm not going to – and that's why people aren't good at that stuff, because they don't practice it enough. People aren't good at math because they're not practicing it every day for an hour.
Well, what that makes me think of is something you said a couple of times in previous episodes. So these are your words coming back from some previous times that come back to haunt you. But you have indicated before that sometimes our educational system is not set up in the best way to help students, to support students, that we could have a little more flexibility there, and that makes it not always an enjoyable experience.
Absolutely. We're offering right now a generic education, and they come together en masse. They read the same material, sit in the same chairs, take the same tests, finish at the same time, and it makes no sense. 50 years from now, people can look back at us and say, what were they thinking? Education to move an individual is an individual activity. So we should have a suite of materials and modes of teaching and modes of engagement that will really move students.
All right. So engage us now with a new puzzler.
Oh, I've got a good one.
The time has come. All right.
I've got a good one for you.
I'm
ready for this?
Yes.
All right. So two mothers – and two daughters.
Okay.
Two mothers and two daughters decide that they are going to enjoy a Sunday brunch.
Okay.
And as a group, they eat exactly three delicious Belgian waffles.
Okay.
However, each person eats exactly one Belgian waffle. The question is, how is that possible?
Okay. Two mothers.
Yes.
Two daughters.
Correct.
Three waffles.
Sunday brunch.
Okay.
Belgian waffles. Three Belgian waffles.
Okay.
But each person.
You can't see this, but I'm drawing stick figures.
You are. Hey, that's
my piece of paper. So
look at you.
So what I'm thinking is
Now, if you're going to say the answer, you're going to ruin it for everybody.
I'm not going to say the answer, but I am going to say so. I was just saying after our very challenging puzzler last time that I don't want to go for the answer right away. I want to puzzle through these and try to figure it out. This one, something popped in my head right away.
So you think you figured it out?
Well, I've jotted it down.
I think I saw something. I think I saw something on one of your figures that I think you might have it.
I jotted it down, but what I'm going to do is now go back
and process
and think it through and go step by step and
make sure it works.
Did I miss a step? Did I jump to the end without thinking?
You know, Jennifer, for someone whose vocation. Why are you laughing at me?
Because I think I know where you're going, but go ahead.
Someone's vocation who is to communicate through words and through sound, it's very interesting that you really are a visual thinker because every time we do something, you always will draw a picture or a diagram or a figure. Very interesting. Even when they're not geometric, you will do that.
Well, you know,
it's interesting.
The puzzler that got me started doing that was one from a previous episode, and it really helped to actually sketch it out. So,
but I remember we had one about 72 hours later after
that
a storm.
That was the one.
Oh, was that it?
That was the one.
And you wrote 24, you wrote in days.
Yep, I wrote down 24, 48, 72, and that helped me kind of see it in my mind and, yeah, sort of pulling together all the different.
This is why you do Morning Edition on KUT in Austin.
Why is that?
Because you're brilliant.
Well, folks, we're done with this episode. No, no, but actually, it brings us back to our topic before, because oftentimes journalism students will ask me, what should I do? What should I do to train? I want a job like yours. I want to be a journalist. What should I do? And do you know what I often tell them that they find very disarming? Take acting.
Interesting.
Take drama. Take a theater class. And they'll look at me, why? And I'll say, because you'll learn how to use your voice, you'll learn how to project, you'll learn how to emote, you'll learn a set of skills completely outside of learning to write and think and talk and listen. But it's a piece of the puzzle if you want a career in any kind of broadcast communication.
Do you know that, and not even in broadcast communication, anytime you're communicating with people. So I actually have taken classes, informal classes, on improv comedy, getting back to the comedy thing, improv comedy and comedy writing. And I have found that it has helped me, especially the improv where you're kind of always on your toes. Look, these things that we're doing, we've been doing them now for a season and a half, almost two seasons. These aren't scripted. We don't have paper in front. We have paper in front of us, but there's no script on it.
Right.
We take notes. That improv, that back and forth came from the experience of engaging with improvisational comedy. And it's very interesting because it gets your brain working in a certain way.
And it's also fun.
It is fun. Yes. It is fun.
Something that we should not overlook. It can be fun.
Absolutely. I'm a big fan of fun.
Well, thank you, Ed, for helping us keep our brains sharp. Dr. Ed Berger is president of Southwestern University in Georgetown, Texas. You can find out more at southwestern.edu. And keep your brain busy by keeping up with the news and other episodes of Higher Ed at KUT.org. You can also find Higher Ed on iTunes. I'm Jennifer Staton with KUT News.